Good evening and welcome to worship. Before we pray this evening, I want to let you know that tomorrow evening, downstairs in the church from 6:30 to 8:30, Becky is hosting a prayer workshop about different ways of pray, and she wanted me to pass on that invitation to you all. But let's open now with a time of prayer. Holy and gracious God, we ask that you might open our hearts, our minds, our eyes, to your word and to your ways. God, draw us closer to you. Draw us onto your path to seek you in all that we do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Be at peace in silence as you listen for the Holy One. 2 Corinthians 5:16-21. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view, even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view. We know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. We entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Allow God to direct you to a word or phrase from the second reading of the text. 2 Corinthians 5, 16 through 21. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we no longer know him in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. During this silence, you are invited to come forward to light a candle to signify a prayer, intention, or other understanding between you and God. You may also come to the kneeler to be anointed for healing for yourself or another. For those of you wishing to give a tithe or offering, you're welcome to do so as you come forward to light a candle, take communion, or exit the worship center. 2 Corinthians 5:16 through 21. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view, even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view. We no longer view him that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. We entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Second Corinthians 5:16 through 21. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view, Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Our scripture this evening calls for us to be ambassadors for Christ. This is a great image, but I wonder if we're a little too far removed from ambassadors here in Strongsville. When I lived in Washington, D.C. while I was in seminary, I encountered ambassadors a lot more frequently than one does around here. I ran through the neighborhoods where their houses were, and I tried to identify the flags of their many countries that would be hanging outside their mansions. I learned quickly to avoid any car that had a diplomat license plate, since they all seemed to think that diplomatic immunity meant that they could drive as crazy and erratically as possible and not follow any traffic laws. Yet there were two Saturdays in May that I loved all ambassadors, because on two Saturdays in May every year in Washington, D.C., they host Embassy Open House Days. These are days when all the ambassadors and their staff open up their embassies, and you can go inside for free, and in many cases, you get a lot of free food and drink and other free stuff. But for good ambassadors, these days also had kind of an ulterior motive. They're trying to convince you that you should spend your money being a tourist in their country, and they're very good at this work. Every embassy has some gorgeous tourist video playing on a big screen, and many embassy workers millying around looking for opportunities to talk to you about their country. To this day, I still want to go visit Slovenia, one of those tiny little Eastern European countries, because according to this very enthusiastic embassy worker I met, I would be able to hike in the mountains in the morning and then sit on the beach in the afternoon and enjoy the nightlife of the capital without having to drive more than an hour at all during the day. Sounds pretty good to me. And it also sounds like he is a pretty good ambassador, because that's what a good ambassador does. They tell people about what it is they're representing. They give the views and opinions of the original country. They speak for them. And then this is the task that has been given to us as Christians, to represent Christ to the world. Sounds a little bit more difficult than representing a small Eastern European country, doesn't it? So how do we become ambassadors of Christ? What does that look like for how we live? Well, we're going to talk about two ways tonight. First, we're ambassadors of Christ when we allow Christ to make us into new creations. And second, we're ambassadors of Christ when we participate in Christ's work of reconciliation. So first, we become new creations in Christ. Our scripture tells us that if anybody is in Christ, then that person is a new creation. When we put our faith in Jesus, our lives are changed. We become new. Not because we suddenly get everything together in our lives or we figure everything out for ourselves, but because the grace and love of Christ is at work in our lives. So we must allow ourselves to be changed by Christ. We must trust that God can take the messy and broken and hurt parts of our lives and make something new. As new creations, God does not see us as rich or poor or tall or short, successful or failures, but as ones who are forgiven and loved by God. In other words, as new creations, Paul is telling us that change has happened, that we are no longer who we once were, but we are new people who have now been forgiven. We are different than we were before. We are now open to so many more possibilities, to so much more hope, to so many more opportunities to be ambassadors for Christ. As new creations, we become ambassadors of Christ. And as ambassadors of Christ, we are participating in Christ's work of reconciliation. The first step to reconciliation is forgiveness. Well, sometimes in our lives, forgiveness is pretty simple. There are times and situations where forgiveness can be extremely difficult. Yet somehow, this is how we are called to live. Because we must remember that in our own relationship with God, our own sins are not held against us. We are then challenged not to hold others' sins against them. As new creation, our vision of the world should have changed. And it should be a vision that allows for all those who come to us in search of forgiveness to receive it. This forgiveness might not happen overnight. It might take time, and that's okay. Because forgiveness is often a process. It's a process in which we must regain trust, get rid of our own grudges, and move into the ultimate task of reconciliation that we're called to as ambassadors for Christ. In some ways, reconciliation may be even more difficult than forgiveness, because reconciliation implies that there is some sort of relationship that's formed again. In order to reconcile, we have to interact somehow with those who we have forgiven. Yet reconciliation is not the same as the often said forgive and forget, because reconciliation is not about going back to the old. Instead, when Paul is talking about reconciliation, he's still thinking about all this new creation stuff. Reconciliation is building something new. This happens in our worldview level when two countries reconcile and build new treaties and agreements with each other. This happens in our church when we're able to look past disagreements and hurt and start the work of Christ in our community and in our world. And it happens in our individual lives when we reach out in forgiveness to those who have wronged us, knowing that while the wrong might never be fully forgotten, knowing that the trust levels and the boundaries and the relationship may be vastly different, but at the same time, something new is happening because God is wanting to make both people into new creations. This kind of reconciliation, like forgiveness, isn't easy in many cases. It might take months or even years or a lifetime. But we are ambassadors of a forgiving and a reconciling God. And with God's help, we can live into this life of reconciliation. Reconciliation is difficult but necessary work. Perhaps one of the most well-known leaders of forgiveness and reconciliation in modern times is Archbishop Desmond Tutu. Archbishop Tutu was called by Nelson Mandela to lead the Commission on Truth and Reconciliation as South Africa came out of apartheid. He spent years leading the people of South Africa through sharing their stories of deep hurt and discrimination and leading people to forgiveness and reconciliation. He came to see this as difficult but vital work. He said this about the process: forgiving and being reconciled to our enemies, our loved ones, is not about pretending that things are better or other than they are. It's not about patting one another on the back and turning a blind eye to the wrong. True reconciliation exposes the awfulness, the abuse, the hurt, the truth. It could even sometimes make things worse. It's a risky undertaking, but in the end, it is worthwhile. Because in the end, only an honest confrontation with reality can bring real healing. Superficial reconciliation can only bring superficial healing. As ambassadors of Christ, we are called to the real and meaningful work of reconciliation. We are forgiven. We are new creation. We are not viewed by God on our own human standards. We are loved. We are ambassadors of Christ. We are forgiving people. We are reconciling people. Because we have been forgiven. Because we have been reconciled to God. And we experience that reconciliation and that forgiveness through Christ, who came and lived among us, and before he knew he was going to be arrested and tried and crucified, he gathered with his disciples in the upper room, and he took bread and gave thanks to God, and he broke the bread. And he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body, and it's given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then later, when the supper was over, he took the cup, and he gave thanks to God, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant. It's poured out for each and every one of you for forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us pray. Holy God, we ask that you might pour out your Holy Spirit on all of us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Lord, we ask that they might be for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we might be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with each other and one in ministry to all the world, till Christ comes in final victory, we feast at his heavenly banquet. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. Here in the United Methodist Church, we practice an open table of communion. That means we don't believe you need to be a member of this church or any church to receive communion with us this evening. We just ask that you come forward with a heart ready to receive the grace of Jesus Christ. We'll receive communion this evening by intinction. That means you'll be given a piece of the bread and asked to lightly dip it in the cup. Receive both elements at the same time. If I have anyone in the crowd, I'm looking for a volunteer to serve tonight. Is there someone who would serve? Thank you. I'll have you come forward, and then you all are welcome to come as you are ready. Thank you. Go forth to be ambassadors of Christ. Go forth and allow Christ to continue making you into a new creation. Go forth and participate in Christ's work of reconciliation. Go in peace. Amen.